Well, you pet stylist, you found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and co-star of the show, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hello, groomers. Hi, Susie. I'm so excited for this week.
Hi, Groom Pack. Hi, Barbara. Hi, Colin. Welcome to episode 277 of the Groom Pod, recorded on November 15th, 2020 in Snohomish, Washington, Tucson, Arizona, and right near Stonehenge. This podcast is brought to you by listener support and through our kind sponsors, Best Shot, Show Season, Evolution Shears, The Absorber Towel, Stazco, and Cherry Brook. Speaking of The Absorber Towel, I want to tell you of a great offer they've given us. If you put the Groom Pod in their coupon code and it's the first time you've shopped at their website, they will give you 10% off. And the absorber towel is really a great technology, especially for mobile groomers, but really for everybody. It feels like a cross between a sponge and a magic eraser, and it's saving me tons of laundry time, space in my mobile. It really sucks a lot of that water off that I was dealing with just gathering in my grooming trailer, and it makes the dogs dry a lot quicker. I cut them in half so they're easier to wring, and I store them in a bucket full of vinegar like a Tupperware with a top on it, and they're just making my life so much better. So if you guys are interested in testing out the absorber towel for yourself, you can go to dogloverstowel.com and put the Groom Pod in the coupon code, and you'll get 10% off on your first purchase. Today, we're talking to Colin Taylor from the United Kingdom. Woohoo! Very international. We're international, Barbara. It's very exciting.
I know.
Colin, I'm going to give you kind of a formal introduction here. I have to switch my page, so let me do it. Our guest today is a familiar face in the grooming industry. He's been on the cover of Groomer to Groomer many times. He's won tons of contests, too many to list, in the United States, in England, all around the world. He's been a groom team member, a judge, an educator, an author, a salesman, and now a podcaster with his new show, Is That a Dog Hair in My Tea?, where he shares his personal story and talks grooming with other folks in the industry. I have a tiny connection with Colin because his husband is from my neighborhood, and Barbara has an even closer relationship with Colin because he was her host when she went to England. Welcome to the Groom Pod, Colin.
How are you all doing? Thank you for having me.
Yes.
I was going to say, I do know Snohomish very well, actually, because I would go up there, and it's beautiful, and we would go to a really good coffee shop up there, and yeah, I really enjoy that whole entire area.
I love Snoqualmie and Carnation as well, so I know your neck of the woods out here anyway as well. So, hey, Barbara, how was your week?
My week was pretty uneventful, pretty calm, you know, we had great weather, beautiful, clear, crisp days, and chilly nights. It was just like, it was just a really pleasant week, no really horrible challenges at work, no horrible challenges at home. Yeah, so there.
Okay.
I did buy something new, though.
Oh, what?
Do you want to hear about it? This is kind of older groomer gear, right? Older groomer gear. So, Colin, you'll appreciate this. You can pass it on. So, one of the things that happens to me now that I'm... 80 fucking years old, is that my skin is so thin that dogs will scratch my arms and it will bleed underneath the skin. First of all, the skin tears very easily, but also I get all of these bright red places on my arm underneath the skin where the dog has scratched and kind of broken the blood vessels under my arms. That never happens when you're young. And there's no lotion, no topical that I have tried, so no vitamin I can take that actually makes that not happen. So the other day, last week, I was just brutalized in 10 seconds by a dog that I held in my arms when it got aggressive towards a new customer coming in. And she just crawled up and scrambled up my arm and just like made me look like zombie apocalypse. So I said, I've got to do something about this. I can't stand it. I had just cleared, that arm had just cleared up perfectly, and bam, 10 seconds of dog scrambling, and I'm a zombie again. So I got on Amazon. I said, there must be something. I have these heavy-duty animal handling gloves with fingers and thumb exposed that I use for cats. I've had them for like 10 or 12 years. They work fine for that, but they're not comfortable to scissor and to use your hands all day long. So they're kind of just sitting there. So I went on Amazon, and what do you know? Technology has advanced, and they now have arm protective sleeves that leave your fingers and thumbs working, loop around your thumb, and then go up over your elbow, and are elastic so you can bend your elbow and everything, and you have perfect scissorability in your hands. It doesn't stiffen your hands at all. And I bought them. They were like, I don't know, $11 or something. Not even, I mean, I probably paid $70 for those cat grooming gloves. These were like less than 20, and it was a perfect solution. And then, of course, unlike Susie, who reads all of the everything she can about a single product before she purchases, I usually read a couple of reviews, purchase the product, and then I read the rest of the reviews, right? Well, I do. You know, I make a quick decision, and then I seek backup for that. So
I love it. That's why we love you.
And I discovered in the wealth of reviews that groomers were on there using them for cat grooming and doing toenails, and old people were on there using them to play with their puppies.
So what are they made of?
They're made of a knit fabric that includes wire fiber.
Oh. I have the ones that the ladybird lady gave me that are wrist to my shoulder that I wear when I do cats, but they're nylon. They're super light, and I'm sure a nail could go right through them. It's more just to make sure that you've got a little bit of a surface.
I think these are going to be pretty rather protective. I'm encouraged. I haven't, you know, I wore them all day and had no event, so I couldn't really judge except for their comfort.
Just when you want to get scratched up, it doesn't happen.
Yeah, yeah, right. Well,
she wore them all day, but she wasn't grooming any dogs or cats.
Right.
She wore them to the shops, and she wore them to, you know, Starbucks and stuff. I do have to say, quickly, before I do anything else, Barbara came over to the UK. It was 2012 because the Olympics were on, and
right.
I have to say one thing. Everybody in the UK absolutely was 100% inspired by you, and they love you, and they keep on saying, "We want Barbara Bird back." And I'm thinking, oh my God, because you gave education and you gave humor. You wasn't all drama and theatrics and all that bollocks. You gave the people everything, and that is really, really a rare thing these days. So I just have to say, remind you, but they absolutely adored you over here because you inspired them, you educated them, and you made them smile.
And now you're making me cry. You're making me cry before the interview.
Well,
I'm touched. Thank you, Colin. I loved my trip to the UK, and I discovered, and not surprisingly, that I had an emotional link with the people. I had simpatico. I think it's actually I have English blood. You know, I think it's that basic. It's just we just hit it off, and I felt so at home from the minute I arrived. Even though I can't always understand what people are saying, it's easier than Scotland. I'll tell you.
I don't understand the Scottish. I just nod my head and like, yeah. I mean, they could be asking me to go to bed with them, and I'd be like, yeah, that's fine. So they are very difficult to understand, but you know, but I remember it well later than I was in my living room. I lived in this shithole of an apartment in London, and now I live in a real nice house in the countryside. But I remember the Olympics were on, and you were in the living room, and I was in bed, and I could hear you say, "Come on, USA! Come on, USA!" And it was funny, and I cannot believe. I would like to do a survey actually and find out how many people are grooming at 80 years old. Because you might be a record breaker. You could be a Guinness World Book breaker.
There are a few. I have heard of other 80-year-old groomers, but I don't think they're still around. Do you make it to 81? You know, like that's the question.
Well, that is it. You're almost exactly. There. You're already ahead of the game.
It was a rough summer. I wasn't sure I was going to make it to 81. You know, just like whew.
You know, I've been talking about Best Shot shampoo and conditioner for over 3 years now on the pod. You can rely on their trusted mastery of coat care chemistry. We've come to know Best Shot as the authority on conditioning, odors, shedding, knots, and tangles. They are true pioneers of iconic, innovative grooming systems, not to mention great all-around stellar folks to deal with, that I can tell you. The Ultramax Pro line was engineered for serious grooming professionals like you. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about their latest new Ultramax additions. Are you ready? First up is Ultramax Hair Hold Spray. It's aerosol-free, which we love. It provides a soft, natural look, but a flexible hold that can be layered on as needed. It's fast drying, so it's perfect as a sculpting spray, and it has a light sweet pea fragrance. I've been using it on Westie heads and Bichon heads, and I truly love it. But my favorite is the Max. The Max is a fragrance-free ultra concentrate conditioner and detangler. In fact, just one bottle makes over 10 quarts. It gives you reduced drying time and extends manageability, and it really makes those mats and tangles disappear. If you add it to your recirculating bathing system, it becomes a de-shedding machine. You can get optimal coat performance in reduced time. Not to mention, it's in a tiny bottle and you can carry it in your mobile really easily. You owe it to yourself to check out what they're all about at ultramaxpro.com and why so many groomers are excited. That's ultramaxpro.com. For over 30 years, Best Shot has lived up to its claims to get dirty jobs done right, so you can start making masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. Contact your favorite Best Shot distributor or catalog to order some Max and Hair Hold Spray today, made from the best stuff on earth. What are you waiting for?
I'm sure it's been the whole situation has been pretty weird over there too.
Absolutely.
Let me tell you what's happening here in about 6 minutes. Yeah. We're back on lockdown.
Oh, really? No.
Yep, for a month.
I was wondering about that.
So no more Raging River Cafe?
Yeah, no more anything.
Oh, they can do takeout. River Cafe.
They can do takeout.
It'll be back. They'll be back. But do you have to shut down?
No. We actually, because of our lobbying with our new little groomers association and because of our connection with the government that we've made now over the last year, we are now considered an essential service. I think England as well, from what I heard from the podcast. Yeah. So we're okay to go 25% capacity, but if you're doing meet 'em at the door, then just business as usual. So it's not going to do too much to us, except for that now we've got to be extra careful again because it's just going crazy here. So the nice thing is that our county is giving us everybody who has a business with under 50 people, and one person definitely under 50 people, they give you a box of PPE. So you're getting a box of 15 reusable cloth masks, 100 disposable cloth masks, 2 bottles of hand sanitizer, and 200 pack things of gloves for free from the county. So at least they're making that available, which is nice. But it doesn't really change my life as a mobile groomer very much. I haven't been inside the house for so long. It's now just habit to stand at the door instead. And there's no hardship. I just, no hugging. I'm not a hugger anyway. I'm like, yes, thank you.
I do believe that the non-hugger people are loving it. And to be fair, I'm a hugger, but every time you go to a party and you've got to leave early, and you've got to say goodbye to 50 people, it's so much easier to raise your hand and say, bye, everyone. But when you've got a hugger, it's like, oh, shit. I wish I wasn't a hugger. So I've turned into a non-hugger.
Well, I get it.
It's a timely evolution. I miss hugging, too, especially since I have no hugging in my personal life. I have no hugging at home. I miss that physical contact, but it'll be back, you know. And then when the flag goes down and we can hug again,
watch out.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, you know, like, but see, I'm not a hug everybody hugger. I don't hug indiscriminately.
I'm an extremely selective hugger.
Yeah, me too. And also, I imagine the STDs aren't as bad these days.
Yeah. So true.
And all that kind of stuff. So yeah, there is a silver lining. You know, there is a positive thing. But this year has been hard, and I imagine it's been hard. I know for my parents, it's been really difficult. My dad is really, really sick. My poor mother. My God. I mean, you know. And the bad reality is, you know, is you feel kind of helpless because you can't necessarily help people. There was a woman last week, she was on the news, her and her daughter went to see her mother in an old age pensioner's home, and they took her out of the home, and she got arrested at a gardening center because she got her mother out of the home. And I'm thinking, hold on 1 minute, you know what, I mean, you know, it's really, really a scary thing where you can be told where you can go and where you can go, you know. And I live in the countryside, which is about, it takes me about an hour and 20 minutes to get to my parents' house. I do have a brother that lives close by, so he does help out a lot. But when he can, I will step in or call them to help and all that kind of stuff. But it's really hard because they're also, they're in their 80s and they are very, very stubborn and very, very independent. And you kind of have to force your help on them, and because they won't ask for it.
Yeah, that's a tough situation when you're not even supposed to encounter them, and it's hard to give them support when they're feeling so independent. Yeah, my parents are gone. I'm grateful that I'm not having to deal with that because I can't imagine what it would be like. Well, I have Barbara's a whole state, what, 3 states, 4 states away, so I'm kind of used to not hugging her, so that's not that big a deal.
Well, hopefully next year when I go to Arizona, because Coleman's sister and husband have moved to Arizona, they have a baby boy due next year, so I want to go to Arizona, and I want to go to Portland, because Coleman watches Portlandia on the TV all the time. And there's some weird-ass people in Portland, isn't there?
Yes. Yeah.
I think they've drifted down from Washington.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
They drifted away from Washington and formed their own even weirder enclave in Portland.
Yep.
Too funny.
So the last time you were up, I think we were in Puyallup at Spotted Dog. Weren't we at Spotted Dog, or did you come all the way up? No, you were at Cascade, weren't you?
I was at Cascade, that's right, yeah.
That's right.
For Debbie. The shop Debbie works at, I think.
I didn't get a chance to get to know you. I only got to sit out there and listen to your presentation, which was fantastic, but you were being mobbed by everyone, which of course is going to happen.
Oh my God, you should have. But yeah. Hey, was you there when the two women took the plastic chairs out?
Yeah, I think I was.
You know what? Oh my God. When every time I see these garden furniture chairs, the plastic ones, I say, do not put me in one of those. And if you are going to expect me to sit in one of those, stack three together so it's extra support. So I'm doing my demonstration, and in the first, in the morning time, a woman, this poor lady, she hit the floor like a sack of shit. It's not funny, but it is funny when it's not you.
And it's kind of funny now.
Absolutely. And I've done it, like today I went to the woods with Jigsaw and Coleman and I fell on the floor, but I rolled, because when fat people fall, you kind of go into this roll and you do it very, I did it with elegance, it was perfect. But the other seminar I did was next to the big church. That was one crazy church. They had golf carts and everything telling me I couldn't park. I'm like, I can park wherever I want, thank you very much. And there was like a massive supermarket, which was a church. So I'm thinking, oh my God, really? But yeah, that was because I'm so used to beautiful churches. And without being religious or bringing up religion, I love graveyards and I love beautiful, typical churches. And it does make me laugh when I see a huge supermarket was converted into a church.
Yes, I remember that. That was Spotted Dog. That was when you were down south. Yep.
That was spoiler. The first time, that was my first one, and the second time was both in, up in, how did you say it, Puyallup? No.
Puyallup.
Puyallup, there you go.
Yep. Because I felt really cheated at not being able to hang with you. I was desperate to hang with you, and every time that we've been together, it just hasn't worked out.
All you got to do is say to me, Colin, you know, because Coleman's house is literally not far from you.
No, we're close.
When we're there, we have bonfires, and all you've got to do is drive up and join us at the bonfire. You don't have to come to a seminar. Or just say, do you want to go have coffee or meet at the Raging River Cafe, because that's where we go most mornings.
Well, I figured I'd take this opportunity to learn a little bit more about you personally before I hit your podcast.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, so how did you ever get into grooming from the start?
Oh, God. So I wanted to be a zookeeper in the worst way, and I wanted to work with gorillas and monkeys. Well, monkeys or apes. I didn't care. But when you want to work with these animals or be a zookeeper, you need a biology degree, and I hated school, and I didn't graduate from school. So I worked in a pet shop, and I was livestock manager, which basically meant I used to muck out all the guinea pigs and rabbits and mice and hamsters and
right.
rats and shit. A girl came in and bought nail clippers, and we got talking, and she told me she was a dog groomer. And it went from there, and I went home and I said to my mum and dad, because I used to brush our dog. His name was Brandy. He was a German Shepherd mix. And I used to try and give the neighbor's dog, Trudy. I remember this dog well. She was like a Cayshound mix. I used to give this dog a haircut with a duplex. Do you remember the duplex stripper knives that had which had razor blades in them? I used to give this dog a haircut, and it looked like a freaking knife and fork had gone out of. So it went from there, and I went to grooming school, and I just ended up being this shy kid, a really painfully shy kid with a stutter, to just being this free spirit and just like taking these paths what were offered to me and learning from every single one of them. And then I ended up moving to America, which I made all my bad decisions, all my good decisions. It's where I came out as being gay, because I always knew I was gay, but of course you don't want to ever, you know, you don't want to deal with it right now. Plus, it was all about grooming dogs and being the best. And I feel like now I've come full circle to realizing that I'm glad I did what I did. I'm glad I competed. I'm glad I've judged. I'm glad I've done it all. But in reality, you make money grooming dogs for pets. That's what the reality is for me now. And that's what I teach people. You don't have to compete, but do go to seminars, educate yourself, but be the best dog groomer you can be.
And I always have said, if you're an animal person and you're passionate and you have some handling skills and some people skills, there's a spot for you. There are people who just do dog baths. I'm a horrible finish scissorer. I can't make a beautiful finish scissor. My hands are all funny. You know, I can't hold the scissor very firmly. But I make a living grooming difficult dogs with my clipper comb attachments and my clipper vac. And it certainly wouldn't win me a grooming contest, but I make a very good living and I have a great life on top of it doing what I do.
And that is what's important, because when I go to seminars and I'm teaching people, and you've gone to one of my seminars, I'm not there to wow you with a show bichon or a bedlington. I'm there to teach you how to do a round foot good and how to do a rear angulation well and how to put the front in correctly, because I want people to learn knowing how to do little bits. I don't want somebody to look at me and say, oh my God, what an amazing groom that is. And then they leave and then their friend says, what did you learn today? And they're like, I learned how to see somebody groom an amazing dog. I want people to gain from it. I want people to understand why the front leg is put like this. And you know what? If you can grab one little thing from it, and for me, it's a lot about 80% education, 20% entertainment. That's why I said about Barbara, why people loved her so much, is because she gave education and humor, where these days I see a lot of people, all they do is give entertainment with very little educational value whatsoever. And I'm very honest about it. I don't try and hide it. I don't, you know, and that's just the way I am, because people, we worked our asses off to give education and to give the correct education. And however, saying that, pet grooming is very subjective. So there is a million ways of getting from A to B. And people have to take everything on board, and they may come to you and learn. They may go to Barbara and learn. They come to me and learn. And they might mix up all our little bits of advice and create one format that works for them. Or they may pick one of ours, you know, to use. Who knows?
Well, I think if I can step in. Wait, my turn.
I think I am so leaving that in.
I agree with all that you've said, and I also think that it's very hard to learn the whole thing in one moment, you know, at one time, in one seminar. You take pieces of it, and then in the next seminar, you get some more pieces, and you just want to make sure that people get at least one good piece out of what you're doing, and you can't expect everyone to learn everything that you're presenting and offering and sharing. So you know, you just try to double down on a few good solid things. I never was a competition groomer. I always wanted to inspire people to know that they could be better tomorrow than they are today. You know, just a little bit of improvement here, a little bit of improvement there, and you're a better groomer. And you don't have to be a perfect groomer to be a very good groomer. And because it's such a visual art, some people see it right away, and others, you know, it took me a long time to move from being a verbal learner to being able to learn visually.
I just realized my grooming is 80% grooming, 20% entertainment. It's the stories, man. They pay me for my stories, I swear.
People pay Susie to show up in her trailer and entertain them. Well,
yeah, I know.
That sounds a bit dodgy, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
That sounds really like you show up in a trailer and entertain me. That sounds like, I know, yeah. That sounds a little bit X-rated.
My husband wonders where the big checks come from, you know.
I think that I'm entertaining with my customers too, but not always at all times. I do believe that there's definitely an energy exchange that happens from the business to the customer, whoever is representing the business. And if you don't project positive, confident, enjoying your life energy, you don't get into a loop with your customers. They don't hook up with that kind of, you know, unless you have some positive stuff attracting them. I think it's a valuable asset to have personality. I got personality, you know, like that.
I agree. Yeah. I do agree.
How much does personality affect the way the groomers are treated in England? How different is the interaction between the grooming client and the groomer in, say, for instance, in England? And I know you've groomed all over the place. I know you ended up in Hong Kong at one time.
We are known to have the worst customer service in the world. and we actually do. But we are getting better. We are not a tipping country, and I think that plays a big role in how you're treated. Like, if you go to a restaurant in America, like if you go to the Longhorn, Texas Roadhouse, whatever, 9 times out of 10, you have young people that are waiting on you, and they are in college or whatever like that, and they are wanting you to tip them, and it's customary to tip, whatever, 15-20%. So you're automatically given great service in America. In England, it's really sad, but it is getting better. But we do have a really bad customer service kind of way of thinking over here. It's almost like, because we're not going to get a tip, it's like, yeah, welcome McDonald's, how can I help you? Or welcome to whatever. Because there's no incentive to be happier or chippier or whatever it may be, because you're going to serve them, they're going to get their food, and they're going to pay you the bill that you give them. So it's not necessarily a big thing. Even in grooming, now, like me, if I have a service provided for me, if it's a good service, I tip them, and they are gobsmacked. They're like, really? And I'm like, absolutely. If I get my hair cut, they get a tip. If I get my postman, they get a Christmas gift, maybe a box of chocolate Rochers, but who doesn't like Rocher chocolate? You know what I mean? So we have a lot of learning to do, and we are teaching people, yeah. Because I teach groomers, but it comes down to the first aspect is welfare. That welfare and customer service are the most important parts of grooming. The haircut is important, but not as important as customer service and welfare of the animal.
I agree. Then the customer service and the impression you give of the welfare of the animals is paramount. And the thing of it is, the dogs also give an impression of the place.
Of the grooming experience. Yeah.
Of the grooming experience, right. So you want to keep those pups happy. The expression of loving your work is an important part of customer service. I mean, if you show, you know what I'm saying? I think, Colin, you know exactly what I'm saying. If you demonstrate your passion for your work and how happy you are to see the dog and to do that breed today, and, you know, I have a little Welsh terrier that's a new customer, and she's very seriously mouthy. Although you can do a lot with her. Well, I was just like so excited to do a Welsh Terrier. I hadn't done one in a few years. I'm just so glad to have that breed that, of course, I forgave Lucy all of her difficulties. And, of course, I persisted with her behavior enough to really get a nice breed profile and something of a head. And the owner was ecstatic. That's the best she's ever looked. Well, I was excited to tour, and I'm so happy you found me. She'll be around for a while, you know?
Of course she will. And also what's important to remember is, if you have incredible customer service and you really care for animals and you greet the animal when the dog walks in, the haircut really is not the most important thing to the owner, because the owner sees your passion of what you have. And they don't even necessarily think about look at the haircut, because I've always said in all my podcasts and all my lessons, we are the only people who view a dog as a haircut. My dog is grown out from a 7F all over because he's 13 years old. He goes to the woods every day. I don't care what he looks like because he's my dog. I don't look at him, you know, as a haircut. And I tell groomers, you can be just an average groomer, but as long as you show that client that what you do, you love, and you love their dog, and you respect them, and you give them good service, it isn't going to matter. You could actually do a shitty haircut, and they would still love you.
I'm a perfect example of exactly that. I have a terrible time with ears. I can never get the ears straight, and every one of my clients completely accepts it because their dogs go batshit crazy over me, and if that's what counts, and it works. I mean, I'm happy because I'm doing what I love, and the dogs are happy because I'm a treat dispenser after the groom is over, and it just works for me.
So I have a question for you, Colin. Are you grooming now?
No, I'm not. I'm doing educational seminars, and normally at my seminars I groom three dogs, but I don't groom anymore. And to be honest, one of the main reasons why I won't groom now, A, because people just are not charging the right amount of money over here, and I'm not going to get out of bed to groom a dog for £25, which is like $35. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
There's no way in hell. I can make my money selling my combs, my belly straps, doing my education. I want to see new groomers come into the industry the right way and not come into it the wrong way. That's my target audience, is the new person. So I can teach them about confidence and also about anxiety and panic disorder. This industry, any artistic industry, whether you're a dog groomer or a cake decorator or no matter what you do, if it has an art form to it, 9 times out of 10, your industry has a lot of anxiety and a lot of mental disorders. So I want to help people like that, because I know in this industry we have a lot of them people.
Very true. Our hands are money makers. We rely on them. How long we last in this career is dependent on how well we care for our hands. Evolution shears were engineered to be the most ergonomic shears out there. They were designed by a team of groomers, sharpeners, and medical professionals with comfort in mind. They started with the observation that all hands were not created equal. In fact, they are all unique and have different needs. Evolution shears are fully customizable with adjustable sizing and your choice of fixed ring, single, or double swivels. I recommend the double swivels. They're my personal favorites. Evolution shears work with your thumb in its natural position, making scissoring in all directions a pleasure. They are made to prevent repetitive stress injuries that occur due to scissoring and keep you from grooming. Lastly, they use high-quality materials but are affordable. They come in curves, straights, thinners, and chunkers, and in a variety of lengths and edges. A good thing for those of us with scissor addictions. There is a learning curve, but don't worry. The staff at Evolution will hold your hand through the whole process. Their customer service is tip-top. You can put your hands on a pair of Evolution shears and say hi to Abby, Ron, and our favorite salesperson, Chris Anthony, at many of the grooming shows. But if you're in a hurry, and you should be, go online to evolutionshears.com or call them at 877-560-3057 and buy yourself a pair or two. Be sure to ask for Chris, because she'll take great care of you. But wait, if you act now... Okay, you don't have to act right now. But mention the Groom Pod when you place your order, or put Groom Pod in the coupon code on the Evolution website, and you will receive $10 off each pair of shears. How cool is that? So do you guys have mobile groomers over there, and do you have house call groomers, and how is that accepted amongst the grooming community, as far as do people, if they're not paying in the shops, are they not paying for mobile or house call either?
Well, that's a really good question, because it's amazing, because whenever I do a seminar, I go through the audience and I find out who's qualified, who's not, who's a mobile groomer, who's a shop groomer, who has a salon in their back garden. And when I talk to the mobile groomers, I say to them, how much do you charge? How much is your service fee? And they're like, I don't charge a service fee. It's all in the price. And I'm like, okay, but what happens when you have to get an MOT, which is like admission test? Where does that money come out of? Where does the money come out of for the tires? Where does the money come out of when you go in a ditch and you got to be pulled out? Because when I worked for Dina Perry back in the 90s, we charged $15 to drive to your house, $35 for the first hour, and $5 for every 15 minutes after. And I said to him, so you're basically charging £35 for the same as what they can go to a salon for, but they haven't even got to leave their house. And I said, if you were to get into a taxi in London and drive 400 yards, the minute you sit in that taxi, the meter reads £2.80. So I say to the groomers, why aren't you charging to drive to somebody's house? And they're like, oh, I didn't think about it like that. And I'm thinking, you know, because people are scared. People are worried about not getting clientele. So they would groom anybody's dog for nothing because they're frightened. They would rather have one dog than no dogs. I'm like, well, you know what? I get it. We're in a scary part of the life right now. But you know what? When you're trying to jump that dog up from £35 to what it should be, you're never going to be able to do it.
Yeah, you've got to start up there.
Yep, you got to start up there. And
I tell students, you should be charging what I'm charging. Because when I groom dogs, I'm not grooming show dogs or competition dogs. And also, what mobile groomers have to understand here is, we can't pull up to a driveway. We've got to parallel park the van somewhere. We've got to walk quite some way, or you got to get permits to park places. It's totally different.
Yeah, I wondered about that. What is the average dog you see come in the shop? Are you seeing working dogs? Are you seeing lap dogs?
We have lots and lots of cockapoos, which I love. I don't understand people that always slag them off. I think they're a great dog. Obviously, in the country where I live, there's a lot of working cockers. There's a lot of border collies. But then again, I say that it doesn't matter if you're in the country or the city. In the country, we have a lot of, where I live in Froome, it's not posh, but it's not, what's the other word for posh?
Poor.
There you go. It's not posh or poor, it's in between, but we have a lot of London people living here because they commute back and forth. So we have a lot of people what now have a crap load of designer breeds, because when the first lockdown happened in England, wait for this because this is amazing, our government, if you had a business and you had 3 years of tax returns and you paid rates, the government gave you £10,000.
Holy cow!
Yeah, now there's many, many people that have never had £10,000 in their accounts ever. Now, so you have a lot of people. What would they do with their money? They went and bought puppies. Lots and lots of puppies.
Wow.
Loads of puppies. So, and there was lots and lots of groomers. So when people used to complain about what the government, how the government was handling it, I personally felt that our government handled it really well. And it was really funny because my friend in Michigan called me and they said, we have a letter from the IRS here for you saying that you qualify for the $1,200. So, you know, but yeah, I was great. But our government took good care of us. Now, in November, I go onto the tax man's website and I give them all my information. And once again, they will pay us 80% of our earnings, and they do a rough estimate, because they know people are having a hard time right now. And so I have to say, when people complain about what their governments are doing, such as when my English friends complain about here, I say, you should look at the rest of the world, because the rest of the world aren't getting what we're getting, you know?
Yeah, that's very interesting.
I'll be interested to see how round two goes here, because people are frustrated. So it'll be interesting.
You have a new president coming in soon.
Yes.
That thank God. Yes. Yeah. Well, that's things they are changing.
Things are changing. And I know Coleman was really quick on the voting.
Yeah. And we mailed in our votes way early, and I'm sure everything was fine, but we'll see. I'm ready for that to happen. That needs to happen.
Yeah, me too. Moving along.
Riding around this way, you started a podcast, which I am thrilled about, because I think the more grooming podcasts there are, the more people will listen to grooming podcasts, and then everybody's listenership goes up. So where'd that come from?
Oh, my God. So you know what? And I'll be really, really honest. When I was with social media, I was getting so tired of social media, because when you have an opinion and you write your opinion, then all these idiots come out and comment on your opinion because they think you mean it in a different way. So I wanted to do the podcast because you can tell somebody's emotion through the sound of their voice. So if I was to say, these groomers aren't charging enough money, if I was to write that, that's how it would come across. But if I was to say it, I could say, oh my God, these groomers, they're not charged enough money. And you could really put more emotion behind what you're trying to educate. And also, you had a voice, or I have a voice, and I can say what I want to say. And I'm very careful about not being rude, not swearing too much, or not going out my way to make it really kind of politically, like a political podcast. I want to make it about the future and not dredge up the past. But I just wanted to have a voice, and I found it by listening to your guys' podcast, by talking to other people who do podcasts who've interviewed me. I'm thinking, you know what? This is a good way to get your point across, and people will listen to it, but they can at least listen to your emotion behind what you're trying to explain.
Cool.
And I really enjoy. I mean, you guys are. What episode are you guys at?
Pardon?
What number episode are you guys at right now?
Oh, 277.
Jesus. So I'm at 26?
Yes.
Good.
But you know what? I really enjoy it. And I've got this Rodecaster machine. And
nice.
Well, you can't see it. But I wanted to do things. I want it to be raw and not super edited, but I want it also, the way I want to do it is, you know, and I can talk to you guys about this too, is like, obviously when you're dealing with just dog groomers, you can only go so far. So I wanted to have dog walkers, doggy daycare, because right now we're going into dog walkers that have to be licensed, dog home boarders have to be licensed. And also I wanted to talk a little bit more for owners to listen to them, so people can understand why they have to brush their dogs in between haircuts. It may seem like common knowledge, and everybody should know that anyway, but they don't. So that's why I love the podcast, because I can have a voice, and people can like it or not, but you don't have all the bullshit of comments after.
Or you can. It's up to you. It's a perfect medium for that. And not to mention... Yeah, not to mention that since it is the grooming industry or dog walkers, they all listen to something while they're doing their job. Why not have them listen to us?
Absolutely. And the feedback I've had is because we have a lot of lone groomers here. Groomers go to grooming school, and then 9 times out of 10, they will either have a van or they will have a unit set up in their garden. So they're working one-to-one. They're very lonely, and I've had umpteen messages, I guess you guys have also, where, oh my God, it's so good, it's built up my confidence, I listen to the podcast while I'm buying a dog or scissoring a dog. It makes me feel like I've got company. I can relate to the problems that you're talking about. And that's what I wanted to hear. I wanted it to be where people can relate to the situation of what we're talking about.
Yeah, we get a lot of that. Well, not a lot, but every, you know, like there are so many isolated groomers and they're isolated from each other.
Yeah.
And there again, listening is yet another way to learn. Reading is a way to learn. Attending a seminar is a way to learn, and listening is a way to learn, and it's all apropos, it's all perfect, and you have a little bit more freedom in the medium of podcasting than you do at more formal trade show or promoted seminars. Yeah, I know. I mean, for me, just being able to be myself and not have to be self-censoring as I speak, been just so enjoyable. And I, you know, I can trust Susie to edit me or to leave it in. And some people really enjoy my freedom of language, and other people, I think, forgive me for it.
Yes, I've never had a complaint about your language. Never.
Well, you know what? I do have to say, people love you because you are you. And also, when you reach a certain age, and don't take this the wrong way, we have We have a TV show, a comedian in England, and her name is Catherine Tate. And she does a skit where she plays an old age pensioner whose grandson comes to visit her. And she has a mouth like a trucker. F-ing, blinding, F this, F that. It's cute and people like it because it makes her alive and it makes her vibrant. And you know what? When people look at you and listen to you, it gives them an understanding, but they're not too old. I get women message me all the time. I'm really old. I'm 54. I'm coming into this industry and I'm thinking, but I'm going to put them in touch with you because you know what? You can fit them straight because, and they would love it. They would love, and I'd love to get you on the podcast because it's important that people realize you're never too old to do anything.
No, that's true. You might not be able to do it the same. I can't do 5 days a week, 15 dogs a day anymore, ever. You know, I do 3 days a week, 5 to 7 dogs a day, and with an assistant. But I'm doing beautiful work. I'm having great customer relations. It's steady. I get great tips, and it's just kind of, and it's just rolling on. Here I am. I'm not ready to quit. I'm very much looking forward to appearing on your podcast too, Colin. So we'll just set that up afterwards.
I'd love to have you. And also, I'd love to have Susie as a mobile groomer because it's one thing when I teach mobile groomers about what they should do, but when it comes to another mobile groomer, maybe they'll understand it and grasp it a little bit more. Because I don't want everybody to be greedy, but I want everybody to be able to survive. So if the vacuum cleaner breaks, I want them to go out to be able to go out and buy a new vacuum. If the TV takes a shit, go buy a new TV. But when people say, oh my God, the TV's broken, and or I don't have oil to, you know, to put into the house so we have heat, I'm thinking, you know what, if you can't afford essential things, then there's a problem. And I see so many groomers grooming and working their asses off to make a little bit of money. And I would much rather see groomers work, do less days, groom less dogs, and make more money and charge top dollar. Because that way you have longevity in your career, I believe.
Hallelujah.
But once again, like I said before, people are scared. People think if they refuse a dog, or whatever. I had a groomer message me the other day, and she says, I have a courser, a Canary Island courser that wants to be groomed. How much should I charge? And blah, blah, blah. And I said, look, first of all, you're a lone groomer. You're in your 50s. You're a big donk. And yeah. You're a new groomer. You're a new groomer, and you have to have reflexes. You don't have to groom.
Oh, there you are. There he is. There you are.
Oh, let's see. That took 57 minutes. Hi.
Well,
that cracks me up. Oh my God!
Come from across the pond.
Yes, yes. You look good.
Yeah.
Well, that was funny. Okay, guys, since this is an audio medium. We have spent the whole time talking to Colin's little black circle or little black square with a circle circling around in it. And all of a sudden hit 40 or 49. What did I say? 57 minutes.
57
he pops on with a face.
Hey, speaking of show season, did you see my before and after pictures of Pee-wee, the Maltese, and my magic makeover?
That was quite a transformation in that coat. Oh my gosh.
Somebody said it just like I had thought it. It looks like he sleeps in the fireplace.
Yeah, what is up with that?
Well, I don't know, but that dog gets black like that a lot. He's the dirtiest Maltese I've ever known. This guy's coat is porous, and that dirt just climbs up his legs. I mean, he was just black.
What did you use?
Show season grime time, girl. It's the magic wand for really dirty dogs. She used the grime time, and then we rebathed with the show season bright.
It's remarkable.
It's a remarkable product.
If you guys would like to get your hands on a tub of Grime Time or some Show Season Bright or any of the wonderful products, you can find them at showseasongrooming.com. You can give them a call at 678-382-0218. They're also at many local distributors like Cascade Grooming Supply, which is my local distributor.
You know what? And also, getting back to the question why I chose to do podcasts, because I could sit here naked if I wanted to. Thank God I'm not naked. But and I don't have to have good hair. I don't have to have, you know, I could just be sitting here and all they have is my voice. However, when you do a visual, that's why I said to you, do I have to be presentable? Do I have to brush my hair? Whatever. And so that's the other good thing about podcasting. You can be very natural.
Even if you are on video, that's only from the waist up.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, that's how she lured me in, that I didn't have to, I could do it in my pajamas. You know, that's how she promised me.
Yep.
Can do it in her pajamas. But then we started doing a little bit of video, and I got all self-conscious and worried about, you know, I'm so vain. I'm just the most vain person I know. I just can't leave it just like that. I always got to look better. Yeah, I know. I remember you said I looked like a New York Jewish woman.
You did.
I will never forget
you did.
That. It was...
You have this beautiful flowing, like, chiffon, and I'm thinking, she looks like a New York Jewish lady.
I know, in
hair.
In leopard print.
Leopard print.
Yeah. But you'll notice, Colin, see how my backdrop matches my clothes and matches my hair. See, I get into all those details just because I have to look at myself.
I don't have any bird poop on my shirt. There you go.
There you go. Clean. That's good.
It's clean today. Yeah. Yeah. Susie, we are yin yang in that sort of a way.
I'm wash and wear,
it's
definitely.
Fun. But there are many Sunday mornings when I'm recording the podcast, looking the full 80 years of my existence. the full thing, you know, like I, with a little bit of work in front of the mirror, I can shave off 20 years.
Yeah.
So my, so why not do it? I did it for you today, Colin. I wanted to look good for you because you're my, you're my buddy.
Oh, you're a sweetheart. Well, we love you. We miss you.
Speaking of a love fest, I need to know how people can find your book, if we can get your products in the United States, and where people can get in touch with you.
So people can find me on Instagram, on Colin Taylor Official. They can get my book by contacting me direct, or they can get my book via Christie's Direct, who is a supplier. In America, they can get my book through melissatheplank.com. My comb and my belly straps, they can get from Precision Sharp, and my liquid line is not in America right now. And we're trying to figure out a way. I was going to be talking to Best Shot to see if they could make the product over there, as opposed to me shipping shampoo to America, and also whether I want to or not. There's a million different companies that sell shampoo.
Yeah.
And I think it's a product that I need to be there to push, and I don't want it just to be sitting on somebody's shelf, because there's so many other people that sell it.
Quite frankly, Colin, I think you're the product. I think whatever you sell is really your personality, and because you like it, they'll buy it. So you're probably right. Yeah, whether you want to go that big or not. We love you. You're what we love. Yeah, thank you so much for being here this morning. We're hitting about an hour, so we'll wrap it up.
I've loved it.
Excellent.
It's been awesome. And I have to talk to you, Susie, about doing a mobile podcast. And I have talk to Barbara also about doing a podcast, because it'd be nice to kind of interlink everything. And like you said, you know, if people can listen to podcast and feel better about themselves, then it's a win-win situation.
Okay, thanks everybody for being here. Thanks for your support. We appreciate it very, very much. Barbara, do you have any parting words?
Yes, my usual parting words. Don't forget to wear your mask, please, for me.
And Colin, parting words?
Also, be safe, but also be kind to others. We're in a climate where, yes, a lot of us are confused and worried, but we have to remember that mental illness is rife out there. You don't know how people live, and we need to be kinder to one another.
Happy grooming, everybody. See you next week. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of the Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com, or Barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening, and see you real soon.